بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today we move on to a new passage, and here Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, he introduces the topic of the Quran for a second time. And as we mentioned before, that in this creed of Imam al-Tahawi there isn't any particular order or arrangement to the contents, and often Imam al-Tahawi comes back to the same issues in different parts of his treatise. So here we see that we come back to the topic of the Quran, and so he says, "Wala nujadilu fil Quran," that we do not dispute about the Quran. "Wa nashhadu annahu kalamu Rabbil Alameen," and we witness that it is the speech of the Lord of the worlds. "Nazala bihi ar-ruhul amin," the trustworthy spirit he descended with it. "Fa'allamahu Sayyid al-Mursaleen Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wasallam," and then he taught it to the chief of the messengers, Muhammad. وَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, it is the speech of Allah, the Most High. "لَا يُسَاوِيهِ شَيْءٌ مِنْ كَلَامِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, that nothing from the speech of the creatures resembles it. وَلَا نَقُولُ بِخَلْقِهِ, and we do not say that it is created. وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and we do not oppose the jama'ah of the Muslimin. So as you can see, we now come back to the topic of the Qur'an, and we discussed this in previous lessons in some depth and detail, and the reason why the issue of the Qur'an became a point of controversy was because the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, and the speech of Allah is an attribute of Allah. And the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were denied by the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila in the second century after Hijrah. They believed that it conflicts with Tawheed to affirm any attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this idea they took from the philosophers, the Greek philosophers, and other nations who had been affected by that philosophy and that way of thinking. And so they believed wrongly that to deny the attributes of Allah is from Tawheed, in their misguidance. And so therefore they denied all of the attributes. Allah does not have any attribute whatsoever, and from those attributes is speech. And because they denied Allah has any attributes, that meant that they had to explain what is the Quran. What is the Quran then? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have the attribute of speech, if Allah doesn't actually speak. And so they said clearly that the Quran is just something created. Allah created it just like He creates everything else. And, we can say the Quran is Allah's speech, just like we say, like a mosque is a house of Allah. The mosque is a created thing, but we say it is a house of Allah. And likewise we say, the messenger of Allah. The messenger is a created being, but we ascribe him to Allah. And so in a similar way, we say the kalamullah, the speech of Allah. And we mean by this simply what Allah creates. This is how they actually understood and explained the Quran. So they are the ones who innovated this bid'ah into the ummah. And the ummah was put to trial by way of it, and many of the scholars were imprisoned, beaten, and executed. And many of the caliphs were affected by these innovators who invented this saying. and they imposed it upon the people. So they were misguided by these evil scholars. Until Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, in the 3rd century, 2nd and 3rd centuries, he stood up and defended the creed of Ahl Sunnah under great oppression and harm that came to him. And so this issue historically became one of the greatest issues that define the difference between the people of the Sunnah and the people of the Bid'ah. And so we can know who is a Sunni and who is a Bid'i just by way of his position on the Qur'an. And then after Imam Ahmad, there came other people from the Ash'aris and Maturidis who in reality they agreed with the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, that the Qur'an is created. Because their creed was based upon the same Greek philosophical terminology, right? But then they made a pretense, they made a pretense of claiming otherwise. And so they are the ones who are present today, and they are the ones who are the disputants to the people of the Sunnah, and they have many arguments and shubuhat, misconceptions that they have. And so for that reason, it's very, very important for a person who is a person of the Sunnah, a person who is upon the way of the Salaf, that he really understand and grasp these matters, because in that is a defense of his creed, of his religion. And there are many other huge implications from a person's belief in the Quran. It can be something that is connected to idol worship, you know, because to deny a Lord who speaks, it is tantamount to likening Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to idols which cannot speak. So there are great and serious implications in relation to the topic of the Quran. So we'll start today's lesson just by a brief paragraph from Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. Sheikh Al-Albani also has a brief commentary on Aqidat al-Tahawiyyah, which was published, you know, almost 50 years ago, in fact more than 50 years ago, thereabouts. He says here that indeed from the greatest of tribulations which happened which came to some of the Islamic sects was through the Ilmul Kalam. Right? The Ilmul Kalam that we keep mentioning, this was what brought about great tribulations to many of these groups. And many of them, they deviated by way of this Ilmul Kalam from having faith in the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, having faith that it is the speech of the Lord of the worlds in reality, haqiqatan, not just, you know, not metaphorically, but in reality. And then he says that the Mu'tazila, they are the ones who say that the Qur'an is makhluk, it is created, they come out and they openly say the Qur'an is something created. And so their affair is very clear and known. However, he says there is another group who ascribes itself to the Sunnah. They claim that they are upon the Sunnah, and they also claim to refute the Mu'tazila. And they are the Ash'aris and Maturidis, right? So they say, we are the people of the Sunnah, and we are refuting the Mu'tazila who say the Qur'an is created. But in reality, the Shaykh says, they are in agreement with the Mu'tazila. They are in agreement with the Mu'tazila in their saying that the Qur'an is created, meaning this Arabic Qur'an that we have, that we recite, that we hear, that we memorize, that this Arabic Qur'an is something which is created. This is what they believe in reality. So they agree with the Mu'tazila. However, they do not say this openly. They don't openly make this speech. And they conceal themselves behind a innovated definition of kalam. As we said before, that the Ash'aris, their creed, is really founded upon playing with words and definitions. And so, although they agree with the Mu'tazila, they conceal and hide themselves behind definitions of words. So they define the word kalam in a way that is not, you know, in the way that is known to the Arabs. So they say it is kalam nafsi. It is a meaning in the self. It is an eternal meaning in the self of Allah. And it is not something that is heard. It's not heard by any of the angels or heard by any of the messengers. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak through His will and His choice. Right? So this, all of this is how they define speech. Right? Speech is just a meaning in the self. It is eternal. It is not heard. And it is not done out of choice and out of will. And this is batil and false, because we know that kalam, speech, is something that has a voice. It is something that is heard. It is something that is made by way of a person's choice and his will. So all of this, they took away the essential meaning of kalam and they gave it an innovated definition of kalam. This is briefly what Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah says. And then we see that Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he comments upon the first statement, وَلَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. We do not dispute regarding the Qur'an. What does this mean? The Shaykh says, this statement, وَلَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, that we do not dispute about the Qur'an, itself can have many different meanings. It can mean that we do not say it is not from Allah. Right? So this is one type of disputing about the Qur'an, claiming it is not from Allah. So we do not say that. We do not say it like this is what the non-Muslims say. Non-Muslims say that this is just a statement of Muhammad. This is just Muhammad's speech. It's not the speech of Allah. This is not the word of God. This is not from Allah. Right? So this is their disputation regarding the Quran. So we don't dispute with them on we don't entertain that claim. Right? This is the first issue. It can also mean dispute regarding the tafsir or the meanings of the Quran. So we don't explain the Quran from our own selves. This would be making jidal. This would be a type of a disputation regarding the Quran. Meaning you bring an explanation from your own self. Because the Quran is only explained by the Book of Allah, or what has come in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or what the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, or what the Tabi'un, what they said, or what the Arabic language necessitates. Right? This is how we explain the Quran. We don't start disputing and using our own, you know, minds and so on and so forth. This is another type of thing that would be a type of blameworthy disputation about the Quran. That you start speaking about the Quran with your own, you know, intellect. So the Shaykh says we don't use our deficient intellects. We explain the Quran by the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was entrusted to explain the Quran. Or likewise the Sahaba who learned from the Messenger of Allah or the Tabi'un, who narrated from their students. Their students were the Sahaba, or through the Arabic language. Now, the Shaykh mentions a point here, which is when we find that so-and-so doctor, so-and-so tabib, or so-and-so mufakir, so-and-so thinker, so-called Islamic thinker, or so-and-so astronomist, or so-and-so, you know, he's come and he's given a new explanation to the Quran or to this ayah. He says all of these types of theories and these types of knowledge, they differ. Today there might be a theory, tomorrow there might be a different theory, and which will invalidate the previous theory. Because all of this is from the, you know, the actions of men, from the knowledge and the science of men, and this should not be used to explain the Quran. Because these things, they change and they alter. And this we see, unfortunately, this is something done by the Juhal, the Shaykh says, the ignoramuses today. They say, you know, they give an explanation to the Quran based upon some science or something. And they say that this is from the Al-I'jaz Al-Ilmi. This is from the scientific miracle. And as a side point here, one of the Shaykh Bazmul, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he has a book in which he discusses this topic. And he says that there are, obviously we don't doubt that there is a knowledge-based miracle in the Qur'an. Of course there is. But then there are people who go to extremes on the one hand, and there are people who deny it on the other hand. And we take a middle and a balanced approach. So of course there are issues in the Quran that can be said that they are miraculous in the sense that knowledge is not something that can be had by a person in that time, you know, in the desert or whatever else. No doubt there are issues like that, both in the Quran and likewise in the Sunnah. But then there are people who have entered like extremism into this issue, and they speak without knowledge, and you know, you can see this online on the internet, on videos, people coming and you know bringing so-called miracles about this equation and that equation and so on and so forth, and trying to twist verses to fit in with the current science of the day. And really this mentality is a mentality, it's a mentality that's trying to twist the Quran to make Islam look good in front of the atheists and the philosophers. That's what they're really trying to do. They have an inferiority complex, and they think that maybe we can impress these non-Muslims and atheists and whoever else by showing them that the Quran is compatible with science. And the goal really is trying to make the Quran compatible with science. That's what they're doing, and that's not the al-ijaz al-ilmi. That's not the science, you know, the knowledge based miracle that we would accept as people of Sunnah. So they're starting off with, we want to make the Quran compatible with modern science. So therefore, they will take verses and they will make them fit into, you know, scientific theories and whatever else. So you see some of these people trying to claim that, you know, in the Quran there is the formula for the speed of light, and there is, you know, and all the other things, there are many things that they claim and they say. And all of it is really conjecture. So they start off from that basis to make the Quran compatible with science. We this is not our approach. We only explain the Quran upon the speech of Allah, the speech of the Messenger, the speech of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, and what the Arabic language necessitates. And of course, as we do that, there will be many instances of verses which what they contain and what they present of meanings that they you know will be in agreement with what is known without a shadow of doubt, right? And so this is how we proceed in this particular way. We don't start off with that goal, which is to make the Quran compatible, because we want to make the Quran look good to the non-Muslims and atheists, and now make this as a basis of our da'wah. And then as a result, you start speaking without knowledge and you twist the speech of Allah. And then it so happens that maybe you explained it in such a way, and then 10, 15 years later, the non-Muslims come along and say, well, actually, we were wrong in that scientific thing. Now we've realized that it's something else. And so therefore, what you claimed about your Quran was actually also wrong as well. Right? So what you're really doing by involving yourself in this is you are discrediting, or you are putting in the foundations for the Quran to be discredited. Right, when you speak without knowledge. So anyway, the Shaykh continues here, Shaykh Fawzan, he says about the next statement, وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that we testify it is the speech of the Lord of the worlds. We testify that the Quran is the speech of Allah. He spoke it in reality. And Jibreel, al-Islam, he heard it from Allah, and he conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he conveyed it to his ummah, which is the Sahaba, and then generation after generation after generation, it was conveyed by memory and then by written form. And in all of that, you know, we write it and we recite it and we memorize it, and all of that, what has come to us, it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not our speech. It is not the speech of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor is it the speech of Jibreel alayhi salam. So then At-Tahawi says, Nazala bihi ar-ruhul amin, that the trustworthy spirit, he descended with it. Who is this trustworthy spirit? It is Jibreel alayhi salam. Why is he called ar-ruhul amin? Why is he called ar-ruhul amin? He's called ar-ruhul amin because he is one who is trusted. He does not change anything. He does not alter anything. He is trusted in whatever he carries. This is the qualities of Jibreel. He's not accused of khiyana. Khiyana meaning deception. This is what the Jews accuse Jibreel of. They say that Jibreel is our enemy. Right? The claim Jibreel is their enemy. And nor like the extremist Shia. They say that the messengership was supposed to be for Ali radiallahu anhu, but Jibreel, he was treacherous and he was deceptive. And he conveyed it instead to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is takdhib of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Jibreel is ar-ruhul ameen. He is the trustworthy spirit. So this would mean that you are saying that Allah has lied. Rather, Allah has declared him to be ameen, which means that he is trusted in revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, من كان عدوا لجبريل فإنه نزله على قلبك بإذن الله مصدقا لما بين يديه. That whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, then indeed he came down, he brought it down upon your heart by the permission of Allah, confirming that which is before it. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse number 97. And in the next ayah, Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلِ وَمِكَالِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. That whoever is an enemy to Allah and His angels and His messengers and Jibreel and Mikal, then indeed Allah is an enemy to those who are the kafirin. And so whoever shows enmity to Jibreel or to any angel in fact, then he is an enemy of Allah. And likewise, whoever shows enmity to a messenger from the messengers, then he is a kafir. He is a disbeliever. And whoever shows enmity to a wali, one who is a wali of from the awliya of Allah, then he is someone who is openly, he's declaring war upon Allah. He's openly wanting to do war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is authentically narrated in the hadith. So Jibreel, then, the point being that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the one who taught the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we see in the Quran, in Surah Najm, Surah 53, verse number 5, Allah says, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. Meaning that he, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, taught him, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who is shadidul quwa, meaning Jibreel, the one who is, powerful. And so therefore, he taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, he continues the shaykh and he says that this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, Jibreel heard it in reality and he conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam without any addition nor any decrease. Right. Now, what is the proof? What is the proof that the Quran was conveyed accurately to Muhammad and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he conveyed it accurately to his Ummah? Because so far from the Quran, we've established that Jibreel is Amin, right? We've established it is a speech of Allah. We've established that Jibreel is the one who descended with it. We've established that Jibreel alayhi salam is trustworthy by textual affirmation in the Quran. Now we need to establish that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he conveyed it accurately as well. And so in the Quran we see a number of verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. Falsehood does not come neither from before it nor in front of it, or neither from in front of it nor from before it. Fussilat, Surah number 41, verse 42. Likewise, Allah says in respect of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِي عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ وَإِذَا لَتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا. Allah says that they, meaning the mushrikeen, the pagans, they almost put you to trial. They almost put you to trial, trying to take you away from that which we revealed to you, to make you fabricate a lie upon us with something other than it. Right? Meaning that the mushrikeen, they put the Messenger to trial, they almost try to make him, you know, as if to fabricate upon the Quran or upon Allah that which is not from the Quran. And Allah says, and then they would have surely taken you as a khalil, they would have surely taken you as a friend if you had done that. And Allah says, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَكَدْ كِدَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. And if we had not made you firm, then you would have inclined towards them somewhat. And then he says, إِذَنْ لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلَيْنَا نَسِيرًا. Then, in that case, would have surely made you have tasted twice the punishment in life and twice the punishment in death. And then you would not have found any aider and supporter from us. Right? So here, this clearly shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has denied that the messenger was put to trial, or that he fabricated anything upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from himself, or through being put to trial by other people. Allah says that we made him firm, we made you firm. So Allah protected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from that. So he conveyed the Quran, no addition, no decrease, no alteration. No addition, no decrease, no alteration either. In another ayah, Allah says, that was Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17, verses 73-75. In another ayah in the Quran, Allah says, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْدَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ. That if he had fabricated upon us certain sayings, we would have taken him by the right hand, and we would have cut his vein. Surah Al-Haqqa, Surah 69, verses 44-46. So then we see in another part in the Quran, Allah says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." That indeed we have sent down the Quran, the book, the remembrance, sorry, and we are the ones who shall safeguard it. So all of these texts now, they prove to us that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he conveyed what he conveyed accurately, no addition, change, or alteration. And likewise, after the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has conveyed it, Allah says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." That indeed we reveal the remembrance and we shall protect it. Which means that after the conveyance, up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, this Quran will be protected. So then, regarding the saying of At-Tahawi, وَلَا نَقُولُ بِخَلْقِهِ, that we do not say or speak with its creation, وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, nor do we oppose the jama'ah of the Muslimin. Shaykh al-Fawzan, he says, we do not say the Qur'an is makhluk, we don't say the Qur'an is created, as the Jahmiyyah say. And this is kufr, this is clear disbelief, and it is juhud, it is a denial of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is ascribing deficiency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that he doesn't speak. To claim Allah does not speak, it is ascribing a deficiency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because the one who does not speak, he is deficient and he cannot be a deity. He cannot be a deity. Speech is from the qualities of one who is worshipped. And the proof of this in the Quran is, and this is in fact a refutation of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, and likewise the Ash'aris and Maturidis. When you look in the story of Musa alayhi salam, when the Samiri, when Musa came to the people of Samiri, and this is when Musa salam, he left and he went to the Mount Sinai, and in that period behind him, the Samiri, he came along and he, you know, whispered to the Bani Israel, he made them melt the gold and make a calf which they began to worship. So when Musa alayhi salam, when he came back and he'd seen that they had made this calf out of, you know, these idols, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, when mentioning these people, he said, أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَلَّا يَرْجِعُوا إليهم قولا ولا يملك لهم ضرا ولا نفعا. Allah says, do they not see? Do they not see that it does not return any speech to them? It cannot return speech to them. Nor does it have any control over benefit or over harm and nor benefit. Now see here, this is an argument from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the falsehood of worshipping that thing because it does not possess three of the qualities of ilahiyah. Right? Ilahiyah. Three qualities of an ilah. Three qualities of an ilah in truth are that it returns speech. It can return speech. And that it has control over harm. And that it has control over benefit. Right? So this clearly proves to us that Allah speaking, that speech is a quality of an ilah. And he who does not speak cannot be an ilah. Cannot be an ilah. And Surah Taha, Surah number 20, verse number 89. And in another ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 148. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam yaraw annahu la yukallimuhum wa la yahdihim sabila. Do they not see that it does not speak to them? La yukallimuhum, does not speak to them. In the verse previously, Allah mentioned it does not return speech to them. Right? And here he says, La yukallimuhum, that it does not speak to them, And it does not guide them to the path. Right? So this is another ayah which establishes the same point. So kalam, speech is an attribute of perfection. Therefore, from these verses, speech is an attribute of perfection. And not having the attribute of kalam is an attribute of deficiency. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all the attributes of deficiency. And he is described with all the attributes of kamal, of perfection. And then At-Tahawi says, وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. We do not oppose the jama'ah of the Muslimin. The Shaykh says that, you know, we don't oppose what the Muslims have united upon in the affairs of the religion. And the proof for that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِئْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّىٰ وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. The ayah in Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse 115. Whoever contends with the messenger, even after the guidance has been plainly conveyed to him and chooses a path other than the path of the believers, then we shall leave him in the path he has chosen and burn him in hell. What an evil refuge. So, you know, whatever the Sahaba agreed upon in the affairs of the deen, then we do not oppose their jama'ah. We don't oppose their jama'ah. So this was the kalam of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. And we move now to the kalam of Sheikh Salih Al-Sheikh, Hafizullah Ta'ala. And so he begins by saying that these sentences that we read at the beginning of the lesson, that we do not dispute about the Qur'an, we testify it is the speech of the Lord of the worlds, the Ruhul Amin, he descended with it, which is Jibreel al-Islam, he descended with it, and he taught it to the chief of the messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is the speech of Allah the Most High. It does not resemble or equal the speech of the creation. And we do not say that it is created, and we do not oppose the jama'ah of the Muslimin. So the Shaykh says that these sentences comprise a blessed aqidah. This is a blessed aqidah regarding the Qur'an. And the Qur'an, to have iman in it is obligatory. It is from the pillars of iman. Because from the pillars of iman is to believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the revealed books. And of course, the greatest of those revealed books is the Qur'an. It preserves and protects every single book that came before it. And this is the mighty Qur'an. So, in these sentences, we find that a Muslim's belief in the Qur'an has been summarized. And so the iman The belief in the Quran is explained in the following five, or is basically characterized by the following 5 points. Right? Your belief in the Quran is not complete except with these 5 points. First of all, al-Iman, having faith that it is the speech of Allah. Having faith that it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah spoke this Quran. Secondly, that it is revealed or sent down by the Lord of the worlds. And what exactly do we mean by this? We mean by this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He sent down this Quran by way of Jibreel. This is the meaning of Tanzeel. Whenever we see the word Tanzeelul Kitab, the revelation of the book, this means Allah, He spoke the Quran, Jibreel heard the Quran, he conveyed it out of trust to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he conveyed the Quran without making mistakes, and then the Sahaba took it from him, and eventually it was put into a book, a mushaf, right? Tanzeelul Kitab. This is what is meant by Tanzeelul Kitab. Allah revealed the book. It comprises all these steps. So, that's the second thing. It's revealed by the Lord of the worlds. The third thing is that Muhammad was taught it by Jibreel, and Jibreel heard it from the Lord of the worlds. That this is part of our belief in the Quran. That Jibreel heard it from Allah, and he taught it to Muhammad. Number four, that the Quran, this speech which is the Quran, does not resemble any of the speech of the creation. It does not resemble any of the speech of the creation. It's not like it or similar to it. This is the fourth point. And the fifth point is that it is uncreated. It is not created. The Quran is in fact an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we say the Quran is an attribute of Allah? Because all the Quran is the speech of Allah. Everything you read in the Quran is something that was spoken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore it is not. And because speech is an attribute of Allah, then we say that the Quran is uncreated. The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not created. And this is the fifth point, the fifth and the final point regarding the belief in the Quran being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Shaykh brings a number of ayat in the Quran that establish some of these points, or which are an evidence for Imam al-Tahawi regarding this issue. From them, very briefly, I'll mention, وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. This is a clear Arabic tongue. I mean, this Quran is in the clear Arabic tongue. Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 103. Allah says, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Say, the Ruh al-Qudus, the spirit, the Qudus, meaning the sanctified spirit, sent it down from your Lord in truth. Surah An-Nahl again, Surah 16, verse 1 or 2. And likewise, Allah says in Surah Al-Shu'ara, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. Indeed, it is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. The trustworthy spirit descended with it upon your heart, that you may be from those who warn in a clear Arabic tongue. Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah 26, verse 192 to 195. And in this passage, we also see the isnad of the Qur'an. The isnad of the Qur'an. Muhammad SAW, Jibreel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a proof in those three or four verses. And so these are some of the ayat, but this is a collection of verses that establish the creed that Al-Tahawi is putting across in the passage. And then the Shaykh goes on to just make some general brief remarks or brief comments regarding the passage in general. So very briefly he speaks and touches upon this mujadala, this disputation in the Quran, that we see This is in the Sunnah we find that mujadala, argumentation, disputation, that it can be something that's blameworthy or something that something which is haram. And the proof of that in the Sunnah is that one day the Messenger of Allah, he came out to a people and they were arguing about the Quran. And so someone was bringing an ayah, and then another one was bringing another ayah to clash with that other person, right? So they were disputing about the Quran. And so it appeared as if pomegranate seeds had been thrown on the face of the Messenger of Allah, meaning that his face went red, right, because of anger. And so he said to them, read the Quran, that which your hearts have, obviously memorized. And if you were to differ, about it with each other, then stand and leave. In other words, don't argue about the Quran. And also we see in some other examples of this from the Messenger of Allah, where he saw that some people he saw some people who were trying to recite the Quran over each other, and he prohibited that people do this, that a person recites the Quran, then another one tries to overcome him in his voice. And so all of this is because this is not giving like the ta'addub, this is not having ta'addub with the Quran, having manners with the Quran, and that the recitation itself shouldn't be a means of disputation or argumentation between the people. So these are things that we see from the Messenger of Allah that he taught, to prevent disputation about the Quran or in the Quran. Now again, at this point, we should make a difference between, and this will come later in the lesson or maybe in the next lesson, that there's a difference between disputing about the Quran and between using the Quran to dispute, to make mujadala. There's a difference there. One is prohibited and the other one is commanded in the Quran, right? We don't dispute about the Quran. That's what we're speaking of here. So this type of disputation is prohibited. Absolutely, this al-mira is prohibited absolutely. And what we'll do, inshallah ta'ala, is that we will take up the issue of mujadala and disputation more fully in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Here we'll conclude our lesson today, and as I said, we'll cover the remaining issues in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. So this was just really an introductory, brief, general commentary upon this passage that we have read today, and we'll continue with the specific masail, the specific issues that the Shaykh is going to raise in detail. We'll do that in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Stop, isn't it? Stop.